KALW.
Black Rock City!
Black Lives Matter at Black Rock City!
Most years, tens of thousands of people gather and build a temporary city in the Nevada desert for Burning Man.
The fact that you could gather 75,000 white people in the desert, relatively unpatrolled, unengaging with the police, is an extreme display of white privilege.
Why is an event that's guided by a principle of radical inclusion almost exclusively white? And what are some burners doing to change that?
The city is an American city, which means it has this deep racial history.
While Burning Man goes virtual this year, we're running all new episodes of The Intersection at Burning Man this week. Today, we'll explore the fight for racial inclusion in Black Rock City. That's coming up. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. One of the guiding principles of Burning Man is radical inclusion, that basically all are welcome. But the temporary city that burners build in Nevada's Black Rock Desert has never been racially diverse. Just 1% of attendees self-identify as Black. Today, we're bringing you another story from The Intersection at Burning Man. In part one of a two-part episode, we'll explore why there seems to be a disconnect between racial and radical inclusion, and what some burners, like Oakland activist and artist Fabiana Rodriguez, are doing to change that. Cross Currents managing editor David Boyer has the story.
Just 2 weeks before the 2019 burn began, Fabiana Rodriguez launched a petition directed at Burning Man's board of directors. The list of demands includes anti-racism training, more people of color on the board, and a plan for racial inclusion with clear, measurable goals. We connect on the phone as I run around San Francisco picking up items on my three-page Burning Man packing list.
So we're going to talk a lot in the desert, hopefully.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm curious, when did you release the petition?
On Monday.
And what's the response been?
We've already hit 1,000. And, you know, the comments on there are really great.
Fabiana is a first-generation Peruvian-American. She was born in the Fruitvale and spent much of her childhood in the Latinx community of East Oakland. And at 16, she was activated by California's Proposition 187, an anti-immigrant ballot measure that was eventually deemed unconstitutional. She's still working for immigration and racial justice, but that's not all.
I'm helping shape national policy on arts and culture, and I just came back from a week-long women in climate leadership gathering, and I was like, oh my God, and I'm going to Burning Man.
Thankfully, Fabiana has agreed to be my guide on the playa, because I have to admit I am a little apprehensive about reporting on this. Something just feels off about a middle-aged white guy rolling up with a microphone in the middle of a party and asking, what's it like to be a burner of color? My assumption, this is probably the last thing people of color want to talk about at Burning Man. They probably spend plenty of time explaining structural racism to white people in the default world. But Fabiana is all in.
So here's what I think. We're in a moment of national reckoning in this country. It's about Time's Up. It's about Black Lives Matter. We're able to name now certain things in our culture that we could not name before. And for Burning Man, that is supposed to be a place where we are engaging in radical culture and radical expression. It's like they're missing the train on it. And I think that what they don't see is the real cost of that. And I want to change it because I really love what it could be. So I almost feel like it's a time to really have, it's like a confrontation in a way.
Fabiana's camp, Que Viva, was founded in 2013 by arts lawyer Brooke Oliver and by Juanita Chavez, daughter of civil rights legend Dolores Huerta. From the get-go, it's been a band of artists and agitators who, like Fabiana, are working for social justice. After the killings of Michael Brown and Eric Garner in 2014, Sandra Bland in 2015, and the growing momentum of the Black Lives Matter movement, the camp became more explicit about the need for racial justice and inclusion on the playa. They've become known to some burners as the Black Lives Matter camp because of the massive banner they hang up facing the street. And that's how I finally spot the camp.
Good to meet you in person.
Yes, great to meet you in person
after
as well.
All of this.
So I want to start with a question.
Sure.
You have cultural capital.
Yes.
And it's limited, as is anything is finite like that. Why spend it here?
There is no other place like Burning Man. And this is a place that is having global cultural influence. This is an experiment founded on things that could actually help make our world a better place. The values of radical inclusion, of participation, of civic responsibility are things we should take to the outside world.
And it's worth your time.
And it's worth my time because this place has been transformative for me, and I know, and it's been transformative for many of my campmates.
That includes Jamila Reddy, a writer and spiritual teacher from Charlotte, North Carolina.
The why for me around Burning Man is because I've had so much healing and discoveries, like made so many epiphanies, done so much growing at Burning Man.
But for Jamila, it was not love at first burn.
My first year at Burning Man, I was just super resistant and skeptical. And also, like, this is some utopia, and I'm like, how? For whom? And my third day at Burning Man, I went to a workshop being black at Burning Man. And this black woman who had been to Burning Man for like 15 years, she said, if you're experiencing resistance, if you are closed off, if you're thinking these white people aren't here for me and this is not a space for me, I urge you to let that go. It's not helping you. Trust me. And I did. I just knew she meant it.
And?
I had an amazing time. Now I've been back 5 years in a row. I just am so grateful. I feel like so much of who I am and the wisdom that I have, I got here.
But as her campmate Marlon Williams explains, there's a reason it's hard to let go of the fear and anxiety that comes with being a person of color, even in Black Rock City.
This city is an American city. It is in the United States, which means it has this deep racial history.
And that racial history comes with a lot of emotional scarring.
My first year, I was terrified about the concept of radical self-expression. How I've stayed safe in the world was by knowing social cues and knowing how to blend in, how to make other people comfortable. And so I came and, yeah, I just freaked out about, like, what do I wear? I think my first day I walked around in, like, cargo shorts and a button down because I'm like, that's what the white people wear, cargo shorts. I just want to blend in. I spent a lot of my life being afraid of my power. As a black man, I felt that being fully in my power meant that people would attack it or be afraid of it, and I deeply wanted connection. And what I've learned from being at Burning Man is that it's a place where I can be in my power and get connection. As a black person, I don't have that opportunity many other places, and it's an opportunity to heal, to love. And that's not just reserved for, like, white folks.
Marlon's day job is advising cities on how to be more equitable and inclusive. He applies those ideas to Black Rock City, which he believes could become a model.
What I feel like my mission to do is to bring black folks and people of color into this place so we can celebrate together with everyone else and have that experience of joy. Like, the most radical thing you can do is just have joy, especially when you have this history of oppression. Joy pushes back against pain and pushes back against violence.
Fabiana agrees.
I feel like this is my home, and I want to help create a home that includes so many more people who look like me and from communities where I grew up.
But for Fabiana, it's also a space of deep frustration. The Fabiana I meet on the phone was passionate, but also playful. The Fabiana I meet on Playa is edgier, angrier. I ask her if anything's changed. And, well, it has.
Today, I went to go visit my friends, and I ran into Marianne, the CEO.
She's referring to Marianne Goodell, CEO of the Burning Man Project.
And I had ran into Marianne a few days ago, and I said, Marianne, I would like to come deliver some petitions to you that are our ask from over 2,500 people that the board adopt real steps towards radical inclusion now. And here are our recommendations, and we would like to have a delivery to you so that you could accept our petitions and that we can invite the press and the media to witness that. And she said she did not have time to do that.
Instead, Fabiana says Marianne suggested that they meet back in the Bay Area after the event.
And I said, no, actually the time to meet is now, because the theme is metamorphosis and we're at Burning Man, and this is the place where we can resolve this. This is Burning Man. This is why we come back year after year. And it did not go well.
According to Faviana, Marion got very defensive and said that she didn't like her tone.
Which is essentially, hey, woman of color, when you talk to me about race, you sound angry or loud. So today I went back and I went to say hi to my friend. I was looking for them, was walking through the kitchen. And Marianne walks over to me and essentially says, I have a real problem with you being here when you haven't paid for the lunch plan.
Faviana says that Marion explained that the org's On Playa dining hall was only for people on the lunch plan.
And I said, the lunch plan? I said, I'm here because my friends invited me, and the other day I ate here because one of the board members and your friends invited me to come eat. Imagine, I'm a national leader. To ask me about a lunch plan is a highly racialized way. It's a classist and a racialized way of basically treating me in some way that I broke some rule, which is actually no rule, because this is Burning Man. This is about gifting.
Clearly, she's pissed.
I'm more than pissed, I'm hurt. Because, and I actually started crying. I cried because what it has taken for me to return year after year, I'm working on helping immigrant families stay together. I'm working on fighting climate change. I'm working on creating racial justice movements. Our communities are under attack. For me to spend time here at Burning Man is a gift. It's a gift to the leadership that I am creating an opportunity for them to actually talk about this. And in a culture where they talk about gifting, this is it. Your moment is here, guys. But the CEO is displaying signs of white fragility and has actually challenged me, not on the content at all of my petition, but on my way of delivering. Why are you here in my space? You don't belong here. You have not paid for the lunch ticket. I love this song.
I ask her how Marion might defend herself.
I think she would say, I have many other things to take care of. And I don't like how she's talking to me. You know, I mean, they said this about all civil rights leaders. And actually, Frederick Douglass said, power does not concede willingly. It never does.
For now, Faviana is done with Marion. Instead, she's decided to focus her outreach on the board, which historically has been a mix of tech entrepreneurs, artists, and media makers, as well as Burning Man's cultural founders, who have lifetime seats.
It is not okay in 2019 to have arts organizations that want to have a global impact have majority white boards. Because you do not want to be that organization anymore. You just don't. You don't want to roll like that. In my letter, I said, I would love to serve as a board member. I would love to help shape and contribute as I already am.
Another person trying to make Burning Man more inclusive and accessible to people of color is photographer Erin Douglas.
I heard about the petition prior, and I honestly wasn't sure how I felt about it. I knew that our mission was the same, but it was very clear that how to go about it were different. I wouldn't consider myself an activist. Faviana, I would consider an activist and have been doing this work for a long time, dealing with top people and the asks and the demands.
Erin is the woman behind the Black Burner Project, which started as a series of portraits of burners of color, feeling their power on the playa.
Me, I am just someone who just kept going with the mission I've always had to encourage people of color to travel more, anybody to travel more. And I found this niche where I wanted to make sure that people of color specifically were seeing themselves in this community so that they know that they were welcomed.
Like many burners, including myself, Erin was introduced to Burning Man by a friend who had been. And she only went because that friend gave her a ticket for her birthday in 2017. But as the event approached, Erin was uncharacteristically nervous.
And I think it was just knowing that, one, that there are these known misconceptions. Also, I had never been camping before. And so it wasn't until I finally remembered that I did know someone, a Black guy who went and got on the phone with him. He just reassured me that everything, I was going to be okay. And he connected me to his girlfriend. I had questions about my hair and I had no one that I could ask.
What was your question?
It was just like, you know, our hair is different. So how did your hair stand up in the dust? Like, what did you have to do? How did you wear it? Will it be okay? You know, like those types of things. So I was still nervous, but he just reassured me that to not expect anything and just go out there and, you know, have a blast. I was like, okay.
She remembers pulling off the two-lane road into a swirl of dust.
And by the time we got in, it was dark, dark. I think I was like deer in headlights. Like, I don't know what this is. And I feel alone.
Things didn't get much better in the daylight.
The next day I went off, grabbed the bike, and I consider myself pretty fit. And I was having the hardest time riding my bike. And I mean, we biked and we biked and we biked out to the man and we biked out to the temple. And I was getting scared because I, like, the only way I could bike was to, like, stand up. And I couldn't get the water out of my water pack straw. And all I could vision was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna, like, pass out my first day. We finally get to the man, I think. And I had this epiphany to check the tires. And I had two completely flat tires that I've been riding on for like 40 minutes.
Erin brought her camera, but it took her a couple of days to take it out.
I kind of wanted to get the lay of the land a little bit more and the vibes of people before, you know, entering their space with a camera.
Erin's photographs are stunning. And when she returned home after the 2017 burn, she did what she always does after a trip. She posted some photos to Instagram. The response was unexpected.
There were people who were seeing my photos and hadn't heard about it before and were curious, you know, like, what is this dusty stuff and where the heck are you, you know? Or you went to Burning Man? I've always known about Burning Man. I've never known anyone of color or who looks like me who's been to Burning Man. What was it like? Should I go? Will I like it? It all had to do with the same thing, that they didn't see themselves there. So I just was like, you know what? Maybe I should go back and take more photos of people of color.
And the next year, she did. I returned to KVIVA camp Tuesday morning. Faviana has had a chance to regroup and hatch a plan.
I woke up and I just thought to myself, you know, this is not something I can continue doing alone. So from now on, I'm going to really lean on my camp.
This morning, she went with her campmate Marlon to meet with some of Burning Man's staff. She wanted to tell them about what she experienced with Marian and talk more about the petition.
But what I realized just almost instantly was that there's actually a lot of people within the organization who want to see this happen. And it's almost a generational divide.
She says that the younger staffers who help the city run day to day were more than receptive.
Who are so ready and hungry for this, it reminded me there's so many moving parts to this event.
It's more than the board or CEO. There are artists, theme camps, staff members, volunteers, and a city of potential allies and co-conspirators.
And I just felt reinvigorated after being very depressed yesterday, but this is going to take a lot of us. This is like moving a mountain.
Undeterred, she and her campmates decide to lean into their activist roots and do something that's rarely, if ever, done on the playa. Plan a protest march. But it's already Tuesday, and this is Burning Man, so there are some unique challenges.
In a city of 75,000 people, in 24 to 36 hours, in a culture where time, nobody f***ing checks their clock, how are we going to get people to show up when we're also competing against the best parties?
So how are you going to do this?
This is where we use our power.
Faviana is buzzing.
This is what I love, because I'm a leader, and here I get to lead. You know, I'm wearing a dress. I'm not wearing any underwear. You know, my bush is just shining through. This is how I lead out here. I'm naked most of the time, trying to figure out how we're going to take down white supremacy while also ensuring that I have my orgasm and that the food is not rotting and making sure that we're creating a safe space for burners of color. So it's a lot, and I love it.
So at the camp meeting this evening, she'll report back on the meeting with Burning Man staff, and then they'll strategize next steps as a group.
We're also talking about our fun times and our the magic things we want to do together on Playa.
Yeah.
Because those are also important, right? On the list of business is how do we address racial justice on Playa and who brought the fun stuff? You know?
I join Kviva for dinner.
I know, right?
And after we fill up our plates with Malabari curry, the meeting begins.
Okay, hey everyone, we're gonna go ahead and get started. Welcome, welcome. We have like two main items of business to take care of. One of them is to think through our strategy of how we are going to deliver the petition and also engage the organization in some dialogue. We did get a second board member who said they would receive. We also got we got indication that it would also be other staff members. So that's what we know. So we actually need a name of our action. Because I know petition delivery sounds very like wonky and kind of boring and not fun. The theme of this year at Burning Man is metamorphosis, which means obviously change.
We just call it a migration.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I mean, I would say brainstorm and ask other folks. So does anyone, can we like list out camps who we think we can drop off some flyers? It would be great to have white allies, not just people of color. Join us.
Comfort and joy. Gate and perimeter.
Laka Laka too. Milk and honey. Distracted?
Dick-stracted.
Okay.
They come up with a list of about 20 different theme camps.
Obviously, we don't have a copy machine out here, and we don't have phones.
So they're going to have to handwrite flyers.
As soon as we know the time, we'll say, meet at Kviva, da-da-da, and then we can assign people to go to camps and distribute them. I would ask the white folks in our camp to please do that labor, to really try to see for the big camps if there's a way that y'all can make announcements, just because I feel very self-conscious about making an announcement in a camp of folks I don't know, and I don't know how others feel, and I think it's a lift. Okay, cool. Does anyone have any questions or anything they want to say about this strategy or any?
Sharifa? One thing that I want to ask about, can we do to help be inclusive to the folks from Backfire?
That's a great question. How can we be inclusive of our deaf campmate friends? I wonder if it's possible to get an ASL interpreter. Thank you for reminding us to be inclusive. Okay, cool. So we have a plan. Yay, folks. So we're going to get to do some real fun organizing on Playa. Very excited about that. And now we can move on to our next topic, which is fun things. Oh, you can turn it off now.
I reached out to the Burning Man organization for a response to what Faviana shared, and here's what they provided. As an organization committed to sharing Burning Man culture around the world, we know we have a long way to go to make Black Rock City and other Burning Man spaces truly radically inclusive, and we are here to do the work. Burning Man Project stands in solidarity with those fighting for racial justice, including Faviana and other members of Kviva Camp. The petition to make Burning Man more racially inclusive is timely and important. We appreciate the opportunity to address specific situations from the 2019 Burning Man event, and we speak as one voice when we say we look forward to collaborating in new ways on the work Faviana and other community leaders have been doing for years.
That story was produced by David Boyer. It's from the latest episode of KELW's original podcast, The Intersection at Burning Man. If you want to hear the rest of the series and find out more about Burning Man's virtual event happening right now, go to KELW.org. Today's Cross Currents team includes Vivian Bosu Skinner, Sarah Lee Sterling, Lisa Morehouse, Marissa Ortega Welch, and Joshua Sirodiak. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.